We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, spending the hour here today with Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler, and I'm going to get into some of our other topics here on the show, including the hiring process and recruiting new police officers to the force. I know that is not just a challenge here to Riley County, but it's a nationwide problem, and we're seeing worker shortages all over the place here in the city of Manhattan. A lot of places are hiring, and the RCPD is no different.
Yeah, that's true. Before I get into those increased challenges, we did just have four police officers graduate from the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center. It's a 14-week program, and now they're doing field training with police training officers, and that's probably about another 14 to 16 weeks. What I think the community would be interested in knowing is, this is more than just a training program. Show me that you know how to do this. There's a lot of problem-solving components in the competencies we want these officers to demonstrate, really problem-based learning methodology, and it's really designed to place more accountability and responsibility on the officer and the decisions they make without having to rely on a supervisor to make it for them. So very focused on self-awareness, emotional intelligence. It's really, really, it's not unique. Other departments do it, but not many. And so we're really pleased with how this turns out, what we consider to be very exceptional police officers. But in terms of recruiting and retention, we always have normal turnover, issues related to personnel from Fort Riley will hire spouses of active duty military. Oftentimes, too, when K-State graduates graduate programs or vet school, we'll have employees that are married or in relationships with people who are graduating from those programs, and they go off and get jobs and we lose them. That's normal. We see that kind of turnover all the time. But recently, we've started to see some, and these are my opinions, okay, so I haven't done any analysis on this, where employees, both in corrections and police, will experience normal life challenges that we've all faced. It could be the death of a grandparent or the breakup of a relationship, and then they just suddenly submit a resignation and give us 2 weeks' notice and leave, and most of them aren't from here originally. So they're going home. They're going home to be near their family, their friends. I'm not saying this is unique. I'm sure it's happened before, but it just seems like we've seen a wave of this recently, and it's creating a staffing issue, especially in our jail. Also a little bit in patrol. We've had a couple of, we have a retirement that just occurred. Another one's coming up in October. So at least those are predictable and we can plan. But along the same lines, so trying to recruit these days is a little bit more difficult than it was a year ago or a year and a half ago for us. A lot of departments always have recruiting challenges when it comes to police officers. We've been very fortunate here during the early stages of my tenure until COVID hit, and now we're having more challenges trying to find people who will even apply and then find people who are qualified that we can hire. And we're not lowering our standards as we do this.
Yeah, obviously there's been a lot maybe that's impacting that. And maybe this past year with all the focus on the police violence here in Minnesota and other places across the country, that's maybe caused more people to maybe not seek policing as a career. I don't know if you agree with that point or not.
I don't know. I can't prove it, but it certainly makes a lot of sense. I have people ask me these questions in the community all the time. And basically the question is, why would anybody want to be a police officer these days? I would look at that as an opportunity to explain why people would want to be police officers and why it's a great profession and why the profession as a whole has been portrayed unfairly, in my opinion. And I give great examples of the kind of work that happens here every day that I see. And there are days that are hard. It's hard for my officers, and I don't mind admitting that. But I often see such amazing examples of their compassion and commitment and professionalism in how they help the citizens of our county or deal with people who've been traumatized. And that's the kind of stuff that just reignites my passion and it makes me know, hey, I'm in the right career and these folks are doing a good job here. And so when those questions come up, I give those examples. I get more specific about things, but generally that's what I say. In corrections, again, this is my opinion. I don't have any way to prove this, but for over a year, our inmates were basically locked down. When I say locked down, they weren't going to court. They had no volunteer programs occurring. Our librarian couldn't come in. Our faith-based services couldn't come in. We weren't performing our GED classes. So those inmates were not having the normal outlets that they normally have while incarcerated. And I think the correctional staff took the brunt of that. And I think it's had an impact. And so I think that's why we're losing more correctional officers than normal. But now that things are opening up, I'm hoping that we don't get so deep in the hole that we burn our existing correctional officers out and lose even more. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and we're doing our very best to provide them with emotional support and peer support and anything else that they need until we get staffing back where it needs to be.
You know, that's such an interesting point here, because I don't think we talk enough about the mental health of our law enforcement, and especially at that level in corrections. That's probably one of the tougher jobs to have in dealing with the inmates on a daily basis. But it's so important to have, you know, outlets for folks to have conversations about their mental health and maybe reaching out and talking to a therapist or something.
Well, we have an internal peer support program staffed with their colleagues that work in sworn and non-sworn positions in the department. And we promote this on a regular basis. And I know that they have regular contact with some of our employees. We also have an employee assistance program that's operated through a vendor outside of the agency. And the challenge, if you want to call it that, is we offer these things, but we can't make our employees attend unless it's related to discipline. But I am very well aware, so is members of my staff, of the unseen challenges and stress these officers and correctional officers and all employees go through, and how important it is to try to recognize that and give them outlets to try to develop good coping skills or use the ones they have that maybe they've abandoned. It costs so much money to recruit and hire employees in policing. I'm not saying it's not easier, but that it is easier anyplace else, but with the obligations and liability associated with the jobs that they do, training is critically important, and having experienced people is even more important. So we don't take that lightly, and we work very hard to provide good service, but we can only do that if we're taking care of our people. And so that's a tremendous priority right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in terms of recruiting, I know there's no easy way to try to bridge that gap of hiring and recruiting new officers. But I know one way, a good avenue for that is community involvement here and sharing your story here with the community. And RCPD certainly does quite a bit of that. How much do you think getting back and doing some summer activities here, including Juneteenth next month and others, will maybe help facilitate that?
I think it's extremely important. I think it's good for the community. I think it's good for our employees to get out and interact in a normal fashion. I know how I have felt in the last few months, having new opportunities to get back out and go to meetings and make presentations, meet with folks that I've only been doing via Zoom. I'm not unique, but it's not for everybody, but I just think it's so important for that personal face-to-face contact for us to keep our relationships strong and to build new ones. Juneteenth. We're really looking forward to that. It's going to be the 17th through the 19th, but we're going to be bringing our barbecue trailer out, which after we got it all set up, we really couldn't use it much in the last year. And we're hoping this summer we can really roll that thing out quite a bit. It does take a lot of planning and logistics, so it's not going to be out every weekend, but we're going to take it to events to try to, again, encourage that interaction. One other thought I might add is, again, I keep reading more and more in my policing feeds and journals about what's happened across the country in terms of the dehumanization efforts some people have engaged in with policing. And it just validates for me my decision to have my officers not wear masks when they didn't absolutely have to, because I just think it was so important that people saw a human face with that uniform and not just a set of eyes. And it just made it easier to establish rapport and have good service delivered and received in the proper way.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. RCPD Director Dennis Butler joining us here on In Focus. We've reached a time to take our second break on the program. We'll take your phone calls if you've got any questions. 785-537-1350 is our phone number. Back after this on News Radio KMAN.